Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning. Today is Sunday the 21st of June. By now you cannot help but have noticed that the FIFA World Cup is underway. Four matches a day, across three countries, many time zones, and if you or someone you live with is following it, it fills every screen in your household from morning till night and beyond. The World Cup is forming the theme for the Word of Grace in these days. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and I and our supporters welcome you to this broadcast on CJMQ Radio to the Eastern Townships and beyond. Words from Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Our opening prayer is a reflection on that psalm that I read earlier, which speaks of a God who trains and prepares and coaches. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. We are they who follow a God that knows of preparation, for what we do not know will follow in this time. But we know that we are not alone. We know we can center ourselves alongside generations of prayer and positioning. My rock and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer. Dear people, We are they who cry out with faith that holds the faith of many, conduits of hope for many who have lost their own, seeking centering in our own foundation of care. Lord, remind us of our reason for doing this work. O Lord, what are human beings that you regard them, or mortals that you think of them? They're like a breath. Their days are like a passing shadow. God, who knows all people and possibilities, you call us to follow you, yet we prefer familiar paths. You offer us new understanding, yet change makes us uncomfortable. You invite us into fullness of life, yet we often resist when the invitation comes with challenge or disruption. Forgive us, O God, and make us loving disciples, ready to follow Jesus' example. In Christ, we can work to transform relationships and envision a new future, guided, tutored, mentored, coached, shepherded by the Spirit of God. We can become a new creation. Let us trust that God, through Jesus Christ, forgives us. Let us not be afraid to try a new way forward. Amen. Our reading today is from the letter to the Hebrew Christians, Hebrews chapter 12, which speaks of the Christian life as being something of a long-distance race for which preparation and coaching and laying aside weights is necessary. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
In the cross, we my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach.
Earlier this year, in the days after Easter, I drove to Boston, Massachusetts. I'd never been there before, and it was a place on my list to visit. And I was glad to go to the Boston Tea Party ships, the aquarium, Fenway Park, and do the bus rides round the historical centre of Boston. I even went up on the train line to Harvard University and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So it happened that while I was there on that vacation, that they were setting up for the Boston Marathon, which was going to be run the next week. It's been running for 130 years, has 30,000 participants, and raises $50 million for non-profits. They were erecting the stands, putting in place the road closures, redirecting the traffic, and putting the advertising in place. Of course, it's one thing to spend a couple of weeks preparing the course for the marathon, but quite another preparing yourself if you are running the marathon. For weeks and months and years, people have been disciplining in their bodies, running the training routes, building up the mileage, reducing the times, all in anticipation of a warm New England spring day. Yet how far off that day must have seemed in the depths of January, when the snow is falling, the temperature dropping, how easy to give up then. Likewise with the soccer players, who have spent so much of their young lives building themselves up to reach the pinnacle of their game, and their team the pinnacle of their sport. The letter to the Hebrews was written to Christians who attempted to give up, who are finding the way hard going. It maybe wasn't all that they thought it was going to be. And the writer used a sporting analogy to keep them going. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. As the text says, a race is marked out for us. We're not just to run any 26.2 marathon miles here. Imagine that. Imagine if they brought the Olympic athletes or the Boston marathoners to the starting line and said, we want you to run 26.2 miles, and it's up to you where you go. I mean, how would you know who won? How would the race be fair? No, there's a very, very plainly marked course, and there are rules about this. Jesus said in Matthew 7, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Why the broad versus the narrow? Because there's many way to go down to death and destruction and damnation, but only way, one way, to eternal life and to heaven. There are lots of different ways we can mess up our lives, but this is a race course that's marked out for us very plainly. And ultimately, dear friends, his name is Jesus. He is the way that is marked out for us. And we need to persevere in following after him. For the implication is that there are going to be difficulties. It's going to be a hard race to run, and we must run it with perseverance. We need endurance here. Now, many verses may speak of this, that the word of God produces endurance in our hearts, and endurance must finish its work. And we've got to have this endurance, for that's why God brings us trials. For trials create their endurance. Apostle James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, so that you'll be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We must have endurance here. And what are the encouragements we can take to help us on the way to endurance? Well, we're surrounded, it says, by a great cloud of witnesses. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're told of so many brothers and sisters in faith, some named and some unnamed, who pursued with endurance the race of faith that was set before them, who ran with endurance the course that was in front of them. Some seeing great success because of their faith, but others growing through great suffering because of their faith, but all of them finishing the race to give us role models to follow. At the World Cup, there are great and vocal crowds, a tremendous atmosphere in these soccer grounds. Yet many of the people are there, perhaps because of entertainment, a sense of patriotic pride, a holiday of lifetime with pals. We too have a great crowd of witnesses supporting us. But here is the difference. Our great encouragement on our race of faith is that the crowd who cheers us on in our faith are the ones who have participated, who have completed in the race of faith already. They're the ones who encourage us by saying, as it were, this is hard, but it's worth it. You think you're weak, but you're stronger than you realize. I once felt like you did, but I got through it because my God is faithful. When Michael Jordan was at the height of his powers, Gatorade had an advert which said something like, be like Mike. But do you realise how ridiculous that is? The guy had a 42-inch vertical leap. Just astounding basketball skills. How can we be like him? But Jesus intends us to give us of his power. The same spirit that raised him from the dead lives in the hearts of those who believe, which enables us to resist temptation, to be strengthened on our journey. And so he commands us in this letter to the Hebrews, the author, to fix our eyes on him, like Peter walking on the water. Fix your eyes on me. I'll get you through. So we look in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How do we do this? By faith. And what does it say about Jesus? He's the author and perfecter of our faith. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's Jesus who gives us the faith to walk by. It's Jesus who is the goal of the faith and who has walked and marked out the road ahead of us. To change the picture, like the man born blind when he put mud on his eyes and told him to wash and he could see, Jesus gives us the faith to see him. He's the author of our faith. He writes it in our souls. And he is not only the author of it, but he's the perfecter of it. For he who began this good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side, which flowed, be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no longer know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Oh, how marvelous! Oh, how wonderful! Shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. It's a rock of ages, a cliff for me. Let me hide myself in thee, singing, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love. How far? It's a rock of ages.
It's the rock of ages.
Cleft for me.
Yeah, cleft for me.
I'm gonna hide.
Hide
myself in thee.
Hide myself in
thee. Hey, it's a rock of ages.
Rock of ages.
Cleft for me.
Cleft for me.
I'm gonna.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of compassion and courage, in our weakness you are strength, in our sorrows you are comfort and peace. We thank you for your embracing presence in our lives. Embrace each situation we lay before you today with your steadfast love. We thank you for moments of joy that break into our lives, for love given and received, for friends who furnish our life with meaning and happiness, and for family who embrace us with love and understanding. We pray for those who cannot feel joy today, for any estranged from family or friends, for those feeling stress as the costs of living rise, and for those who face any kind of loss. Embrace us all with your mercy, O God, and give us grace to respond to the needs around. We pray for people in our communities, friend and stranger. Draw us towards deeper and relationships that open doors of connection, respect and understanding amongst neighbours. We give thanks for your abundant gifts and for resources to support those facing difficulties in our communities and in other parts of the world. Challenge those who govern to listen and to respond to the needs of those who serve. Challenge us to commit to international efforts to preserve the earth, work against the inhumanity of war, and to work for peace with justice, giving thanks for the memorandum of understanding that has brought conflict in parts of the Middle East to an end. Embrace us all with your mercy, O God, and give us grace to respond to the needs around us. And during Indigenous History Month, we give thanks for the opportunities we have to learn about the rich and diverse histories, languages and cultures of First Nations, Inuit and Métis people. We give thanks for Indigenous elders, knowledge keepers and leaders who work for the well-being of Indigenous nations and communities and pray for their health and strength in this work. And we sum up our prayers, spoken and unspoken, in the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.